Today is Friday the 17th of November 2023. We're in Fun at the Flair in Cardigan. I'm Paul Hunt from Mencap. Could you both introduce yourself and tell us your connection?
I'm Bethan Morag Kench, and I'm Jan's daughter.
And I'm Jan Kench, and I'm Bethan's mum.
So, what would you like to talk about?
Well, we'd like to talk about our voice, our choice. And our voice, our choice is what, Beth?
Our advocacy service.
That's right, it's a self-advocacy group that we've got.
Yeah.
And is that separate to Mencap?
It is. We had a self-advocacy group here, like every other county in Wales, about 20 years ago. We were fulfilling the promise policies that came out then. Up until then, I think it was really around 1994, where up until, say, 20 years ago, it was important that people with learning disabilities could be, stand up for their own rights and know about their rights. But they had very little chance of expressing their rights as such. And in those days, they were supported by social services in their area, perhaps in a day service, and supported by day service staff. And they all had these little hubs in their day services where they could actually express, their issues. And I think it worked really well in Ceredigion, actually, although it wasn't independent. It was run by the council. The reaction we got generally, it was very well run, and people were able to be quite open with, any queries or any complaints and whatever. Later on then, with the fulfilling of the promise at the turn of the century, 20 years ago, it was decided the build would get money from central government to actually be an umbrella organisation and pay for self-advocacy groups to be more independent, standalone. And that was the beginning of the long, and it's a long story, but the long and the short of it is that All Wales People First was started. And each and every county then really were able to apply via that route to set up self-advocacy groups. And we had one called Ceredigion People First. And it ran up until 2015 and then stopped. I'm not sure what the problems or the issues were. But for a short time, the group disbanded, obviously. But there was a self-advocacy group which was funded by the authorities then from Carmarthen and Pembrokeshire. And I think they shared the role. But what they found was that, people in Ceredigion were not really supported in the same way as if they had a home base or a county-based organisation. They did a bit of a survey, and I think a lot of the people with learning disabilities in the county said, yes, we would like to have our service from Ceredigion and not from an outside county. And we also wanted a bilingual one in Cymraeg a Saesneg. But then it went quiet again, nothing happened. And I think Mencap Ceredigion as a charity noticed that our people were not represented fully in various county, three county, regional and all Wales issues. And that wasn't any fault of anybody really. It was just that it was ignored, if you like. So Mencap Ceredigion got a group together and we had a meeting of members. We had about 30 or 40 people come to it in Aberaeron, and it was agreed that we could set up our own because nobody else was going to set it up for us. So Mencap Ceredigion helped to set it up, and we supported it financially and administratively. We helped the group to facilitate meetings and get the talking started. And they decided on their own name. I can remember they voted. There were several suggestions and they came up with Our Voice, Our Choice. And since then, we've supported them. And I would say in the last sort of 18 months, 2 years, we've, as if we've let it go so that we have less and less links with them, so that it's now a truly independent organization. It's not answerable to, you know, to us or to anybody but their members, and it's set up for, it's member now, member based, member used, member run, but we're still there though to help them. For instance, if they need any help with funding, or just a bit of advice, really. But since then, they've now joined All Wales People First as an umbrella organisation. So All People First, basically, are the first port of call if they do need any support at all. And we have a committee. I should say they have a committee. They've got a chair, a secretary, a treasurer. They're now established as its own charity.
Vice chair,
yeah, Bethan here, vice chair, sorry. They set themselves up as a charity. They're now attending all various meetings. And of course, this is where Bethan comes in. What exactly do you do now? What's your title? You're vice chair.
I'm vice chair of Our Voice and Our Choice, and I'm the regional rep for Ceredigion at Always People First.
So what is the job of a vice chair?
A vice chair, I work with the chair to recognize problems that we have in the community.
You haven't had to do it yet, but if Anita, the chair, isn't there, then you're the chair, aren't you?
Technically, I'm. But it hasn't happened
yet
because our chair probably wouldn't do so.
But she's always there.
She's always there. She's the boss.
How long have you been vice chair?
Oh, how long? I think I've been.
This is your second year, isn't it?
This is my second year, and I've been, I think, re-elected. Mm.
And have you been a member before then?
Yeah, I have been. I've been a member of Our Voice, Our Choice since the very beginning. So,
and how did you feel going into that first meeting, becoming a member for the first time?
I felt great because we're getting problems that people with disability are facing every single day with this current climate, that we're having now. More support and things didn't need to be done.
What kind of things do you talk about? What kind of problems do people bring?
Well, since 2020, it's been day services, council, and buses and stuff like that. And with new problems coming arise with like elections and stuff like that, that's what we really need to talk about, is just support and just thinking, why is this going wrong, and why, how can we be there to fix it, if I'm saying that right.
So
yeah.
What do you try and do to fix it then? Who do you talk to?
Well, I don't actually talk to anyone. It's usually Anita's job to talk to the councils and stuff. I'm just there as the vice rep, so I don't actually call, I don't have the time to call these with my busy schedule. So that's what I do as a vice chair.
So what does our vice archivist do then once they've collected all of this information? What happens then?
We go to the always people first and tell the problems that we've been having, which I'm the regional rep for. And
how long have you been doing that?
Oh, 2 years. I've been doing this for 2 years.
And how did you get chosen?
I was elected because our previous person, who was our rep, wasn't doing the job properly. And that's all I'm going to say.
Very diplomatic. How did it feel when you were elected by everyone else in the group?
It felt really good that... I felt that they chose the right person because I have a really big voice and I know how to fight back. I'm one of these disability people... learn disability people that can actually fight back and just talk about how wrong society is for people with disabilities, with learning disabilities.
Where do you think you get that from?
My mother.
Guilty.
So, with my regional rep work, I go to the summits that we usually have a couple of times a year.
Four times a year.
But if I'm not, either I go there in person and stay in a hotel where it is, or if it's somewhere I can't reach for purposes, like maybe the north or something like that, I usually go on Zoom. And I've liked it at the regional rep because I've met so many different types of people with disabilities who have the same problems in their counties, and we're trying to come in together. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Tickle in my throat.
Mm-hmm. You want a drink?
Yeah. And I've made friendships from this experience, and the people I've experienced it was very good. I think the first one I ever did was around, was it in COVID?
Well, the first one you went to?
Yeah.
Just after COVID,
but there were still safety precautions and stuff. Still,
I think there was a Zoom when you did first.
The first one I did was in Cardiff.
Oh, right, yeah.
And you went with me to that.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
So does your mother support you to go to the meeting?
Not
only for that one, wasn't it?
Only for that one.
And it's quite strict, isn't it? Because if I can say, the person would go to support you,
yeah,
or support Bethan, but there are rules where, you know, I couldn't speak. I could support Bethan to understand, or if there was something she didn't understand, she could ask me, but I couldn't speak on behalf of Bethan, if you know what I mean. It had to be from, or give my views then.
But if my mum was only there for that kind of my first one, the rest of them is I've had both Anita and Carl with me going to these things, and I've usually had one or two most, I've had both of them come to the things. I've been to the south in Cardiff and stuff like that, and Newport, and I've been to
Llandudno was the last one. Llandudno?
Llandudno. No, Llandudno wasn't the last one. Newport was the last one.
Oh, right.
And then we went to Adfest.
Oh yeah.
What's Adfest then, Matt?
Adfest is kind of like, it's kind of like a fair or something, like a
conference.
A conference for
Comic-Con for people first.
well, it wouldn't be a Comic-Con.
They don't dress up.
They don't dress up. It's strictly business. So, yeah. Advert is just a group of a lot of people around Wales just saying about what needs to be done and about the organisations.
Do you find that the problems that you face in Ceredigion are the same problems as elsewhere, or do you get some that are just for you just finding Ceredigion?
Oh, heck yeah. The lot of the people in always people who have the same problems as us, the same problems as like with buses and the day services, they have the same problem as we do. So we're not alone. Many of them. There is actually one loud person that recently I've been encountering, but I won't say his name due to probably safety precautions,
yeah, I wouldn't know.
Prophecy, but he is loud. But he has a good voice, and we actually debated a couple of times about certain things, and I'm actually grateful for that. I'm grateful that there's somebody else who has equally passionate about the problems of what's going on in his county. So I'm only going to say about the person. I don't want to bring him in.
Remember the time you went to the same there, though?
Oh, yeah.
Who did you ask a question of?
I actually directly asked the first minister. What was it again?
Drakeford.
Markford Drakeford, about the bus service, because it needed to be done, because this was the buses were a major problem. And I asked him directly, what are you going to do about the buses and the transport? And he said that he was going to get a group of people in a very important people to talk about, because he knows that transport is a seriously problem, and it's especially to those who are vulnerable in these counties. So the Welsh government are aware about these problems, and we'll just try to say the same problem over and over and over until they get it right, okay? But then there's new problems with the election, with the IDs and stuff like that, and I'm just going to say it as that, and I'm going back to my mother.
Yeah, I mean, the problems that... I mean, because Mencap Ceredigion is the main charity in Ceredigion, really, for people with disabilities, we do get to know what the problems are. And we can then mention it to OVOC. So or if people are having things. One thing we can't do, and neither can OVOC either, is deal with individual problems. So if a person is having a problem with their day service or with, not getting a support worker or whatever, then they can refer them to social service, but they can't support them independently on a one-to-one basis. So, but because they're a group, they can deal with general things. So they're quite helpful to us in Mencap Ceredigion, because instead of us fighting, if you like, if that's the right word, then we can pass it on to OVOC and give them some instances of things that are going on. I mean, self-advocacy, I know, is important. And I've seen it work over the last 20 years very positively, because there's more power, I think, if there's a load of you together talking instead of an individual talking and fighting. But it's more than that. It's giving them the confidence to speak out. Also, Always People First do some great training. And because now they're a charity, they can actually apply for funding. So just recently now they put a bid through to get training on relationships and friendships. And they've done that on their own. They've never done that before. So that's handy. They've also sit on other things, whereas Bethan is sitting on as a regional representative. Then we've got members then that sit on county, like for instance, the three counties. They will meet Carmarthenshire People First, Pembrokeshire and Ceredigion now. Whereas before, of course, it was only two, now it's three, and we've got a voice now. And there's also the Dream Team, where they work directly with the health board and the authorities on various policies and issues. So because we've created that, we've got more of a voice. And self-advocacy is still just as important. I'm going to be negative now, and I know Bethan doesn't want me to be negative.
I'm going
to
cover my ears.
So she's going to cover her ears. But I think it needs to be said. Self-advocacy was the buzzword back 20 years ago. It was done, it had loads of money pushed into it, and it was directed by Build. Right? So Build had the money, and they were then able to give that money to the different organisations that were created, including All Wales People First. There was a change then in, I don't know, 2005, 2006, and it was decided that the money would go to the authorities. And I think that's where things, up till then, it was working brilliantly. The councils were very supportive. And I think because, okay, we were a tick box, but I think at those days, the people in the local authorities could see the benefit of it. And would use us for all sorts of things, consultation wise and so forth. And we were asked to do loads of things at that time. They wouldn't move unless a self-advocacy group had been involved, if you like. But today, that's not the case. And decisions are being made without actually consulting with not just people with learning disabilities, but with anybody. And I think a lot of that has got to do with COVID. Up until then, we would have great strides in working with people like the council and so forth. But since COVID, there's been a lot of pressure on the authorities to get staff trained and it's been a bad time, really. I think you've got to balance that with giving them praise when praise is due. And I think we'd be the first ones to do that. And very often we've been an organisation, or OVOC have been an organisation, and certainly Mencap Ceredigion have been an organisation that actually has promoted the positivity of working as partners. But I think you have to have a critical voice when it comes to dealing with, you know, people like vulnerable people or people's rights and so forth. I don't know whether I'd call it criticise, although it comes over like that sometimes, but things need to be pointed out to people if things are being done incorrectly or not being done at all, etc. And I think a self-advocacy group is ideal for that, because it's a whole voice, it's not one particular voice. But we do need to be listened more. I think if there's any criticism at all, is that in Ceredigion, self-advocacy is not listened to enough. And we need to go back into the practice of listening. And I think because of COVID and all the, you know, the extra pressures on not only Ceredigion, but I think authorities across the board, across the whole of the UK, have got an awful lot of extra pressures on them. To get staff, to get things trained, to get, you know, services back to normal. But that doesn't mean to say they don't need to be highlighted as an issue. So I hope they don't. Creative criticism, perhaps.
What? How did you feel about them when you were able to ask the First Minister that question about presses? Not a lot of people get to.
I wasn't nagging him.
I didn't mean you were nagging him.
I said it in a very polite manner.
I'm sure you did, but sorry, I should rephrase that. How did it feel being able to ask the First Minister about buses?
I felt really proud because I was talking to the top dog of the Welsh Government. And he's such a nice individual himself. I've really been proud of our Welsh leaders ever since the Assembly has been up and running since the 1990s. And I've been really proud of that. I don't listen to the UK,
Well, I think, you know, Ben Lake, for instance, was the one, our MP.
Yeah.
He was the one that launched OVOC, wasn't it? Remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we get a lot of support from him. And Ellen Jones.
There's one person in the House of Commons or the Lords or something like that that I would fully agree that I would listen to. Everybody else, they can go toss it themselves. Ben is the only one I'm going to listen to, and I'm not going to even start on previous prime ministers.
We're not very happy with them, are we?
Although I'm compared to them, there's a certain American president, former president, that I have had and been indebted to ever since he became a Latina, but I'm not going to say his name because he will just
boil cross.
I get caught.
But I have to say, though, if I can butt in here, that's been just as positive for Bethan to see bad leadership as it's to see good leadership. And identifying bad decisions with good decisions. And I think that's been a learning curve, not just for Bethan, but the whole
country.
OVOC, really, don't you think?
And the whole of the
country. And the country, yeah.
And the
yeah.
country. Because we've just seen how bad I'm not criticising the Tories or anybody in Parliament. They're probably doing a job, but they're just doing it poorly and very poorly, and they're just doing it poorly, but I'm not criticizing them. They're probably doing the best
that they are able to do,
although there are some of those politicians that are really rub me the wrong way when it comes to like treating human people like garbage and stuff like that. Let's just say I'm not very happy about a certain someone that just got booted out of
I'm glad you're not naming names.
Because I'm not naming names because I don't want these people to have credited to have a bigger voice. I'm just going to say certain people that have been in Parliament that really just rubbed me the wrong way. But then again, then I see the good people, the genuine people, like that I could name because they are good people, like the First Minister, Ben Lake, Ellen, lots of people in our...
I think that's good as well, is that they know you, that they know OVOC, they know Mencap Ceredigion, they know who we are.
And
you get a lot of respect from them, don't you? And we've been mentioned in leaflets and manifestos, and
I was even part of a campaign to get Ben re-elected.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, not that you're being biased in any way at all.
I'm not being biased.
But he's supportive. So what can you do?
What do you think the benefit of self-advocacy is over an organisation like Mencap?
I think having an advocacy service, it means that we are getting more listened to about the general problems that we're facing. I'm not bad-mouthing Mencap. I've been with Mencap all my life, ever since I was around 10, 11 and stuff like that. I'm not about nothing MenCap. I support MenCap. I volunteer for MenCap. I'm not bound mouthing them. But generally, I think it's more power that we have other methods to solve problems. But here's the thing. We need to build confidence with these people. Sure. There are shy people with disabilities who are very, very shy. I get that. But give them a little boost of confidence. And like I said, I'm the right person for the job. I am uber confident. I have a voice. I have a darn backbone to say. If someone wasn't right to me and put... Somebody told me about how I'm the lowest thing of society, even though they would try, even though I'm stubborn as heck and probably a little scared when I'm mad. I would just say that I don't think you have the judgment to just say how my life works, and I'm pretty fiery and stubborn, even though I got it from my mother. I got my fiery. Actually, I got it from my family line.
Your gran and your great gran were the same, weren't they?
Yeah. So I got it from family traits.
Yeah. I think it's important that confidence, that people have got the confidence. Then if they've got a problem, either they can come to the self-advocacy group, or we can, or you, I say we, it's you, it's nothing to do with me, that you give them the confidence to
fight back
and use their voice. I think the only thing that I would say, and this is true, and it's nothing to do with self-advocacy, and I think a lot of people in this particular field will agree, is this how slow changes are, you know, how slow it gets. I mean, I think the first thing that came up as a problem, five years ago we started?
Yeah.
Obviously. The first problem that came up was transport.
Yeah.
And I think the last meeting that we have, they do meet quite regularly, and that was another thing again, is transport. And that's the frustrating thing about it. I know that having meetings and talking about things are important, but we need to see results as well. And I think that is quite frustrating. But that's not a self-advocacy thing. That's across the board with anything to do with government and funding and changes and stuff like that. But you know, if we didn't have a self-advocacy service, what would life be like for you, Beth?
Miserable.
Yeah.
Can I quote a musical?
What musical is that?
You know, a rockin' musical?
Go on then.
To quote a certain school of rock, we just gotta stick it to the man.
Well put. So, my final question, and I suppose it's connected to that, is have you ever considered going into politics yourself?
Are you kidding me? I'm busy as enough. I don't want to go. Although some people said, oh, Beth, you could be the next prime minister. And I always tell them, no, I don't want to be a prime minister. I've got other things to do with my life.
Like
a
counselor.
No, I don't want to be a politician. I just want to be me. I just want to be Beth and that likes socializing with her friends, having relaxing days and just having that. I don't want to be a politician. I'm just the regional rep, and that's the more I can do. Anything else who put onto my schedule
is in trouble.
It's in trouble. And let's just say, we have a quote in my family, no one wants a stressy Bethy.
That's right.
So, yeah. Hands up to people who think, oh, Bethan, you can be the next prime minister. Please don't, because I will always say to them, no, I don't want to be a politician or anything, or a prime minister, or any person, because I admire those who are actually politicians, and they're just trying to do their jobs. Leave me out of this. So, you, Mum?
I agree with you, Beth. I mean, I've been asked as well to sit on various things. I think the furthest I've been is community councillor, and that was frustrating enough. I do, like you, agree with you that I do admire people that go into politics and sit on various committees and stuff. Mm. And they do make a difference, you know?
Yeah.
And they do give up a lot of their time for us.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want to do their job. But I think, you know, we're giving people like Bethan, and there's a few of you on OVOC,
yeah,
the opportunity to be the next best thing, if you like. And that is to listen, you know, find out what the problems are, listen to the membership, and then take it to, in your case, regional,
the regional
quarterly meetings.
Yeah.
That then goes from there to Joe Powell, who's the chair of, who's the CEO of Always People First. And then he and his officers will then take those individual county-led problems right to the top. And, you know, 30, 40 years ago, that you wouldn't have seen that. But what we want is for problems to be solved a lot quicker. And as somebody said, it's not rocket science, is it really?
No.
To get the buses on time and to get the bus drivers to treat us with a bit of respect. That's not very difficult.
Yeah.
And when you think that, you know, our transport bill at the moment is, what, 700 million? That's a lot of money. So you expect some sort of good service for it. But I think, you going back to what you were saying, do you find that our problems are the same as other problems in Wales? They are.
Yeah, they are.
But I think we have to look at them differently to, say, the cities and the more urban. We are rural in West Wales. And our problems
are way more difficult than...
They are difficult because if you don't have the correct transport, then other things happen. For instance, a simple thing as they stopped one of the buses completely, which meant that people who would normally come to our gateway social clubs weren't able to come or had to leave early. Well, the issue with that is then they didn't have social contact, you know, and they lost contact with their friends, and, you know, there's a lot of repercussions because of it. So it's a difficult one.
Yeah. Well, we'll bring things to a close there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Diolch yn fawr.